This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. We're here every week on our program. We try to talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important and educational. And I hope you've been listening to us for a really long time. And we are this week on a cultural kick. We are so happy that we have an opportunity to tell our listeners and to learn about some of our most important cultural institutions that are finally getting an opportunity after all the months that we've been suffering through this pandemic to open to the public and to let us come back and live our lives and a little bit and enjoy all of the wonderful opportunities that we have here in Western New York, especially culturally. And one of my favorites, as you probably know if you listen to On Target, one of my favorite places to go and listen to lectures and look at art and talk about everything to do with art, particularly as far as Western New York goes, is especially our very own Birchfield and our Birchfield Penny Art Center at SUNY Buffalo State College. As you may know, is really, really unique because it does specialize in many ways in art that has to do with Western New York. And we're going to learn more about not only what is happening at the Birchfield Penny Art Center now, but in the future, because in the studio with us, talking to us today, is Scott. You know, I forgot to ask your title.
I'm the interim director as of this week.
Oh, hey, how topical, how current. And I didn't realize that, but you know, I realized that there hasn't been a director since the director left before the pandemic, right? Am I right?
Well, we had a director for a short period of time for the past year and a half, almost 2 years, Dennis Coyes, who came to us from Milwaukee. But he's just recently taken a position back in Wisconsin, and so I'm back in the role of interim director.
Well, congratulations. So actually, you've been not just interim director, but involved with in one role or another with Birchfield for many years, right? It's you didn't just come to the position.
True. Mm-hmm. I've been here in different positions for over 20 years now, but I've been deputy director for the past 2 years.
So now I'm going to start again. On Target, we are having the pleasure to talk to Scott Propiak, who is the new acting director. Okay?
Great.
How do you like that?
Scott,
we've been friends for a long time, so I'm calling you Scott, and I'm asking, you know, oh, gee, what's your title? But as I said, you've been there a really long time, and I really care about the Birchfield, as you know, for many years. And I wanted to, start out just a little by telling our listeners, just in case, because we've talked to somebody from the Birchfield on and off over the years on Target several times, but just in case, the mission of the Birchfield is, as I tried inarticulately to tell our listeners, it has to do with really more Western New York art or local art than for example, the Albright Knox or some of our other art institutions.
Correct. We actually represent the art and artists of Western New York, and so that is artists who have lived here in the past, artists who lived here but now live somewhere else, and artists that live here currently. So our mission really serves the representation of art in our community from the founding of Buffalo and before to current day artists working and living in Buffalo today.
That's what I thought. And of course, obviously, by the name itself, we should realize that, you know, Birchfield has something to do, and Penny both have something to do with Western New York.
Correct. Charles Birchfield, our namesake artist, was the artist that we were focused on when we first opened up under the leadership of Dr. Edna Lindemann in the 1960s. And Charles Birchfield, certainly one of the most famous artists that was of and celebrated Western New York. His works are in the collections of over 109 public institutions in the U.S., and, you know, his he had the first solo exhibition at the Museum of Modern Art. So he is our artist namesake, and he just was such a thoughtful artist when it came to representing our region, and both his paintings and the way that he reached out and was represented by institutions and was a judge at many institutions for their exhibitions too. So,
and so actually at the museum itself, there are many connections, permanent exhibits and connections to Birchfield and to his life and to his work.
Yes, we have. We always have an exhibition up, including his work. We always have a recreation of his studio, which was in Gardenville, which is now West Seneca. And we also take to heart his interest in the environment. And so when we're working with other artists, contemporary artists or historic artists, we also look at them to sort of see their work sometimes through the lens of their concern for the environment. So that's the heart of Birchfield's work was his love of nature. And so we frequently will look at other artists' work and think about it through that consideration that Birchfield gave.
It's sort of like Birchfield and his time or his contemporaries, right? Or
correct.
People that were influenced by his work is what we're saying.
A lot of the work that we do is certainly in that area.
Okay, now after a 2-month closure, of course, due to COVID, I just got a notice, which is how I thought of talking to you and letting our listeners know, that the Birchfield was going to reopen, which was actually about a week ago. So tell me, first of all, how long they were closed, and tell me what you had to do to get reopened.
Well, I think that with a lot of organizations during this past year, we first closed and then we reopened and then we closed again. And what we had realized in November is that as the numbers for Erie County and the surrounding counties were getting higher, that we were concerned about the safety of our visitors and our staff. And so we had closed down. And at the same time, there are artists and people that we work with that a lot of work has gone into their exhibitions and everything, and so we wanted to make sure that when the numbers started to come down again, that we were ready to open up again with new exhibitions that highlighted their work and the work that they've been doing for years to lead up to this moment. So we reinstalled multiple galleries with new shows, and we also brushed up on all of the safety precautions that we take on site, which includes hand sanitizing stations, directional signs for walking through the space. But what I find in the museums and the cultural organizations in our community is that we've all been, as a team, very good across the community to make sure that people are safe and comfortable in our spaces. And frankly, they tend to be large open spaces, and so they are safe in that way too. You don't find large crowds all bunched up together.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because I've been there so many times, and it's really a perfect space for, you know, to pivot for pandemic uses because there is so much room. I mean, it's very rare, even on an opening night when there's, you know, many, many people, that anyone is really close together because you can walk all around. I don't know how big you could, maybe you can describe, I mean, it's two floors, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many exhibition rooms.
Yeah, our largest gallery, I was just looking at these numbers a couple of days ago for a future exhibition. Our largest gallery is over 6,200 square feet in one room. So if you imagine that, if you had a very, very large house, imagine all of those spaces just being one room. So our largest gallery is that big, and then a lot of our smaller galleries are in the 2,000 to 3,500 square foot size. So you can really be in the space and never really be around each other. Our large events, like we've had in the past, we still have a pause on those. So our Friday night gatherings, where we would have upwards of 1,000 to 1,500 people in the building, we're still not back to that yet, but we are to the point where we could accommodate up to 225 people in the building at one time and have them still be in safe spacing. That's about 25% of the amount of people that we could fit on just one floor of the building. So it's heavily reduced, but just for everybody's safety.
Yeah, but that's great. I mean, because it's very, very conducive to being, as you said, social distancing, but yet being able to come and take advantage. So now, let's tell our listeners, when they do come, what they can see. What are the exhibits that are special now, and what's going to be happening in the future?
Thank you so much for that. I'll start off with the Charles Birchfield exhibition, as our namesake. We have an exhibition that is Charles Birchfield in the American Scene. And I think that it's fascinating because some people who know Birchfield's work, they think that he painted the landscape in the small towns of the U.S., which is true, but they always have assumed that he was just interested in the visual experience. And Birchfield was a deep thinker, and he also was trying to capture the experience of those spaces. And so our curator, Tullis Johnson, has curated an exhibition that looks at both the images that Birchfield made, but also trips that he had taken. So photographs that we have of him traveling with his friends, other fellow artists, to places like to Vermont to see Robert Frost. The way that Willa Cather's work influenced Birchfield's painting. So it's a very interesting combination of Birchfield in his time, but also with the understanding of the impact that the writers of his time also had on stating what is truly the American experience.
Right. That's what we were kind of saying before, the importance of Birchfield and his contemporaries, and, you know, how he influenced others during, quote-unquote, the American Scene, you're calling it so. And then what I think is interesting when you're saying self-guided tour, meaning that you've got, like, if people want to come see this particular exhibit, they'll have, like, what do you call the earphones that you walk around and listen to and tell you what you're seeing?
Well, there's a lot of text panels on the walls, but there's also QR codes that you can scan. I think that everybody is getting used to this from restaurants, where you can put your phone up and it scans a little symbol on the wall, and that brings you to more information on your phone. So that way you don't need any extra things that you would pick up at the front desk. It's stuff that you already have on your person.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's great. That's terrific. Okay, so then I know that besides that, there are some other exhibits that you've put together, special exhibits, either now or the future.
Sure. There's, you know, for the past year and a half, I've been working with a team of curators that one of the interests of mine is that because we represent the region, is to look for voices outside of our staff to sort of to help us understand what is going on in the art community and what's contemporary and what emerging artists are thinking about. So we worked with a group of five curators that curated a show over the past year and a half, and that show is called Making Strange, and it's really at its core about the way that artists are sort of making sense of the world around them. But all of the artists in that show are younger contemporary artists, and the curators are all younger contemporary curators. So it's an interesting take on what the next generation is thinking about the direction of art in our time.
And it's so important that when you mentioned young, I know that when we talk about museums, I just talked on Target to the director of the Buffalo Science Museum, and we were having sort of the same conversation that you and I are having, or about to have in a way, of how younger people can, another generation or younger people can be attracted to, you know, the Science Museum, and now we're talking about to Birchfield Museum, how what you are doing to attract and interest a younger generation.
I think, you know, and this is something that I've been with the Birchfield for a while, and I've thought about our role in the community in the way that we represent the artists and my relationship with artists over this time. And I started to think about us, particularly over the past year, about what role is it that we play in the community. And I recognize that through the work that we were doing online and the relationships that we have with artists and how they think of us, that the perfect place for us to be is to be a stage to amplify the voices of everyone in our community. And so I think that that comes through in not just what we show, but who's talking about what we show. And so that really speaks to providing opportunity, opportunities for another generation of artists and curators, another generation of community members that really are curious and want to learn. But, you know, institutions, I think that we have a responsibility to encourage that, to encourage people to express their position, express their voice. I think that our cultural institutions in this community, and particularly the Virtual Penny, really have this great opportunity to bridge and build community, particularly during during times of social unrest or conversations around social justice. I think that that comes through in the work that artists make, but I also think that it comes through in the way that we act as an institution. And by acting in a certain way, we can bring people together. We can be part of building a better community.
And of course, you are associated with a college, so by nature, automatically, you're going to have, you know, younger people that you're going to attract or to, you know, interest, I assume.
Definitely. Our relationship with Buffalo State College is so strong. They are our greatest partners. They're our largest donors. We grew out of the college, so our origins are from the position of higher education and college, and that it, the importance that that plays in community. And we work as partners with the college on so many projects. It's incredible, but it's not just exhibitions. It's our programs. It's our films that we show. It's the music that we present. Where every time that we look at taking an action towards a project, we think, how is it that we can be best involved with our partners at Buffalo State College?
If you just tuned in now, you are listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. And today we are having the pleasure to maybe being one of the first people to talk to Scott Probiak, who is the newly, right? We couldn't be more current.
Yeah, it couldn't be more current.
newly appointed director of the Birchfield Penny. And by the way, speaking of current and all, it was very nice of the Birchfield to name the middle name after me, but
of
they're
course.
But they're not spelled but it's not spelled right because Mr. Penny is P-E-N-N-E-Y, and I don't have an E, but otherwise it was very kind. But there, you mentioned something before that I wanted to talk a little bit about. There's a lot happening at the museum beside the actual art on the walls that we get to see and the craft art. There's lectures and films and videos, and I wanted you to let our listeners know about the different conversations and speakers that take place during the season.
Oh, thank you for that. I think that that's one of the things that has been part of our organization from the beginning, is we've always intended to be an art center, not just a museum with works on the wall, but really to look at all of the arts, to look at poetry, to look at performance, to look at video and film. And, you know, and that, once again, that's a tribute to the vision of Dr. Edna Lindemann when she said, let's be a center. Let's focus on the broad range of cultural production. And so every second Friday we have bands playing. Currently that happens on through our website. It's live through our website. We have bands playing on every second Friday, and then also we have a program called Birchfield Connects, which is bands playing some at the usually 2 weeks after that during the month. But we have an ongoing program of bands, and then also incorporated into that are poets and writers. But we have a film program that we work on with the communications department at Buff State called Dare to Be Diverse, which has a presentation of films, but also a panel discussion afterwards. I think that that is the thing that makes it truly special. I think that with as much as we watch movies through online providers now, or if we're fortunate to actually be able to go to a theater and see a film, there's that experience. But really, the panel discussions, the exciting thing about what we do with film is panel discussions that usually involve somebody who worked on the film. So it's almost like an ongoing film festival, right, where you have not just the ability to watch something, but to talk about the making of it, or talk about the themes explored. And that's just fantastic. I think it changes the experience from a person being a recipient to a participant. And I think that helps us sort of sort through our own thoughts and grow as a community.
I do, too, because I don't think, I'm so glad we have a chance to talk about this, because I don't think people necessarily, the public, is aware that, I was afraid to say just art on the wall, I'm lucky you said it, but, you know, looking at an art museum, which is a fabulous, of course, experience, and culturally one of the highlights of our life, but it's also important that we talk about the fact that you are a center, an art center, and that they have I don't know if now you can pivot to it, but there were and there will be times when people can participate, like you've had talks, different talks by well-known people, movies, when we're allowed to do that in the auditorium, and just topics of discussion like with well-known people. And I'm hoping that you have plans to continue that.
Oh, definitely. I'm so excited about that. That's certainly the thing that makes my life and my involvement in the cultural community in Buffalo such a positive and great thing, is that I think that there are so many ways that we just transact in society, right? We go, we need something, we go, we buy it, we bring it home. But if we're all searching for sort of understanding and meaning, and I think that everybody from every walk of life is looking for understanding about their personal experience of life, you know, I think that is only enhanced and grows from our communication with each other. And when we can have a center point to focus on during our life's explorations, then we can sort of start to understand that maybe we're not alone, or maybe we're different, but we're still in support of each other.
And art, as we know, transcends all generations, sex, race, everything comes together when you are looking at art or dealing with art.
It's true. It sort of touches on the essence of being, right? The essence of individual understanding.
Now, have you come up with plans? I mean, finally, I loved when it was announced that Birchfield opened again, and they said, some winter sun, the Birchfield reopens. I love that, this Thursday. But now we're actually thinking ahead to spring. I think most of us are. Okay, I am. I'll speak for myself. And looking forward to, you know, better times, better weather, more reopenings. Do you have plans, like, for the next couple of months?
Well, you know, we do. I mean, we're going to continue on the path of expanding days and hours. And, you know, during any given year, we present about 10 to 13 exhibitions in a year. And I know that one of the exhibitions that we have coming up in July that is so exciting for everybody is our biennial art and craft media exhibition funded by our Sylvia L. Rosen Endowment, which provide support for having an exhibition every 2 years that explores what artists are making in craft, contemporary craft artwork. And that is just, it's such a wonderful experience, because it's an opportunity for artists to submit for an exhibition, and we work with an outside curator to select the works. And usually there's about 40 artists that participate, so it shows a broad range of people working in all types of media. So it's ceramic, it's fabric, it's metal, it's wood. But the reason that exhibition's also special is because I think in the conversations around craft, you're dealing with materials that people can automatically relate to. Not everybody understands sort of what it means to paint a painting. We're not all painters. But if there's a piece that's made out of material like ceramic, we all have plates and bowls and different things in our lives. lives that provide an immediate relationship or understanding for us. And so when we look at somebody working in ceramic, we can think, oh, I know that material. It's interesting the way that they're using it.
I can't even color between the lines, but I could look and think, oh, I could do that. Or, you know, gee, why didn't I think about that? You know?
Definitely. Definitely. My one promise to the world is that as an arts administrator, that I think that there are a lot of great people who are making things, but my promise is that I won't make things. I'll try to make things possible.
Well, yeah, my promise is, like I just said, I can't even color like in a coloring book. I always look forward to the crafts, though, because it is different and a different aspect. Now, I wanted to mention for our listeners what hours you are keeping now, when you are open, and, you know, what they have to do, how they could, you know, get tickets, what the online or what you want them to do to come to the Birchfield.
So we haven't experienced a lot of traffic like it to the point where we were concerned. People don't have to buy tickets in advance. They can come in. We're open Thursday through Saturday from 10 till 4, and then on Sunday from 12 till 4. So right now, those are our current hours. We're hoping to expand back to Tuesday through Sunday with hours in the future. But right now, those are our hours, and anybody can come in. There's a parking lot at our building, and you can come in, and we'd love to see everybody.
And I don't think we said where the Birchfield is located, because we're assuming that all of our listeners have been there thousands of times in the past, but still we should say.
Thank you for that. Sometimes it's those things that we do every day that we forget to share.
I know.
we're on Elmwood Avenue, 1300 Elmwood Avenue at Buffalo State College, on the corner of Elmwood and Rockwell Road, right at the edge of the campus. And it's very simple and accessible, and it's a bright and shiny place to be.
It certainly is. And thank you so much, Scott, for talking to us about the Birchfield Penny, our very own kind of local Western New York art institution. And thanks again. And thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you enjoyed our conversation on Target. And we'll join us again next week, same time, same place. Have a good week. And bye-bye now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.